These are the weekly security headlines from Daily Tech News Show for the week ending May 17th, 2019. I'm Tom Merritt. U.S. President Trump issued an executive order Wednesday declaring a national emergency and prohibiting U.S. companies from using equipment from foreign telecoms if they are believed to pose a national security risk. It does not name companies, but gives the Secretary of Commerce the power to prohibit transactions posing an unacceptable risk to the national security when they come from persons owned by, controlled by, or subject to jurisdiction or direction of a foreign adversary. The department has 150 days to develop its enforcement policy and name the companies it will target. Separately, the U.S. Commerce Department's Bureau of Industry and Security said it is adding Huawei and 70 of its affiliates to its entity list that would ban Huawei from acquiring technology from United States companies without approval. The ban would take effect in the coming days. ZTE was previously put on this list and shut down operations until it could negotiate its removal and resume purchases. Huawei said, quote, "Restricting Huawei from doing business in the United States will not make the U.S. more secure or stronger." But also Huawei said, quote, "It is ready and willing to engage with the U.S. government and come up with effective measures to ensure product security." Huawei also announced it will challenge the decision. Huawei Chairman Liang Hua said Tuesday the company is willing to sign no-spy agreements with governments. The danger with Google's Bluetooth Titan security key used for second-factor authentication was always that Bluetooth could be compromised. Well, Google's trying to stay ahead of that, disclosing a misconfiguration in the Titan security key's Bluetooth pairing protocols. To exploit the flaw, an attacker would need to be within 30 feet of the key when a user pressed the button to activate it. If they could connect to the key before the user did and knew the username and password, they could then log into the account being accessed. There's also a possibility of masquerading as a key and remotely taking over a device's keyboard and mouse. Google will provide free replacement keys to all users of the Titan Bluetooth keys and any USB NFC key with either a T1 or T2 code marked on the back. Microsoft issued a software update to patch a critical remote code execution vulnerability in remote desktop services, aka RDS, in Windows XP, Windows 7, Windows Server 2003, Windows Server 2008, and Windows Server 2008 R2. Manual downloads of patches are available for XP and Server 2003, despite both operating systems being no longer officially supported. The vulnerability is pre-authentication and requires no user interaction, similar to the WannaCry malware. Windows 8 and Windows 10 are not vulnerable. Speaking of WannaCry, Zach Whitaker at ZDNet reports that 2 years after the ransomware spread worldwide, a large number of vulnerable endpoints are still unpatched. The ransomware spread using a flaw in the Windows SMB protocol, and security researcher Nate Warfield notes that up to 1.7 million are still exposed on the internet. The search engine Shodan estimates this at closer to a million, with more than 400,000 in the United States. Whitaker notes this only accounts for machines directly connected to the internet, and that while WannaCry currently remains unable to unpack and encrypt data, the leaked NSA hacking tools it was based on could still infect vulnerable machines. Security researchers discovered 4 bugs in speculative execution on Intel chips, which they have named Zombie Load. One of the researchers, Daniel Gruss, told TechCrunch it was easier to exploit than the similar Spectre vulnerability, but more difficult than Meltdown. Almost every computer running on Intel chips dating back to 2011 is affected, including virtual machines. Intel has released microcode to patch the bugs, and Apple, Microsoft, and Google have also released their patches. It has not been found in the wild, but while most users are at extremely low risk from it, as always, users are advised to promptly update their software. The City of San Francisco's Board of Supervisors voted 8-1 to prohibit city personnel from purchasing and using facial recognition technology. The ordinance additionally requires city departments to submit surveillance technology policies for public vetting. The ordinance will need to pass a second vote by the same board next week to become final. WhatsApp has fixed a vulnerability that let malicious actors remotely install spyware on phones with no user interaction. WhatsApp's own security team discovered a buffer overflow vulnerability in the VoIP stack that allowed remote code execution merely by placing a call to the target's WhatsApp account. The call did not need to be answered and could be wiped from the call record immediately after infection. WhatsApp says the vulnerability was exploited by an advanced cyber actor, probably a private company working with governments on surveillance, targeting a select number of users. The Financial Times alleges surveillance software from Israel's NSO group was part of the exploit, though NSO, which markets software to governments and law enforcement, denied any involvement. WhatsApp says all users should update apps and make sure their device OS is updated as well. FCC Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel published letters from the major U.S. cell carriers explaining their current position on selling customer location data to third parties. Following commitments to stop the practice last year after it was discovered that the prison tech company Securus was obtaining location information from third parties and tracking without permission, T-Mobile terminated its program in March 2019 after CEO Jean Legere pledged to personally evaluate the issue in June 2018. AT&T suspended access to Securus after the initial reporting but continued selling to other third parties. In January 2019, AT&T said it decided to accelerate our phase-out of these services, ending all programs by March 29, 2019. Sprint said that as of May 31, 2019, it will no longer contract with any location aggregators, and Verizon ended its location selling to LocationSmart and Zoomigo in November 2018, excluding a specific use case for roadside assistance services, which ended in March 2019. Finally, Lee Kuen at CoinDesk reports Microsoft is launching Ion, an open source project to create a decentralized identity solution using the Bitcoin blockchain. Rather than using a third-party login like Facebook, Ion would handle your decentralized identifiers to prove that you own the keys to a given set of data. Microsoft's York Rhodes said the company had been working for a year on key signing and validation that could use public blockchains, but handled a greater throughput for speedier transactions. Sources told CoinDesk Microsoft will move Ion from Bitcoin's testnet to the mainnet by the end of 2019 and open it up to users running nodes and contributions. Microsoft was a founding member of the Decentralized Identity Foundation. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.